Luke 24:36. While they were talking about this is still right after Easter, they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." You are witnesses to these things. Say, you are witnesses to these things. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you, Greta. Thank you. I thank God for the leadership of the folks who are running our youth ministry right now. I just need to say it. I need to thank God for Ramona, who's at home with those twins. I talked to her the other day, sleeping, not really. But with twins, you don't sleep. That's not what happens with twins. But blessed with joy she has never known before, I thank God for her leadership, for the parents on the education committee. I thank God for sacred circles, because that's where my four-year-old gets to go in church instead of yelling in the back, because that's what she would want to do. Now, a couple weeks ago in Sacred Circles, which is led by Joy Richardson, Rachel as well, we thank God for them. In Sacred Circles, we were making a lot of noise last week, here, down here, and over Easter, if you will recall. And the kids upstairs were wondering, the teachers came and told me this, why are they doing all this yelling? Why are they yelling so much? And they were saying this, they were having this debate amongst themselves. Why is all this yelling happening? And my four-year-old daughter, Danya, said, quieted the room down and said, "Don't worry, my dad likes to yell and tell jokes." That's what he does. She thinks that pastoring is yelling and telling jokes. And she meant it seriously. They came on Sunday after and said, I gotta tell you this. You just have to hear this. Even though I've told my daughter many times what I do, even though I tell people all the time what I'm doing as a pastor, she thinks, like right now, literally right now, what my daughter thinks I'm doing, listen. For some pastors, that is all you do. Listen, I ain't mad. But it reminds me, like, you can know what you're doing, and you can say it out loud many times, but how do other people understand what you do? How do other people think about what you do? You should just check in every once in a while. Like, I know what I do. What do you think I do? You should ask that. Ask that about your partners who live in your house with you, your kids. Like, what do you think I do for a living? And just, that's why CBS has kids say the darndest things. When you get those answers, you got to come back and tell me what they said. Do we assume that people should know what we do? Many times we get tired of telling people, but they need to hear it over and over and over and over again. Repetition breeds patterns, and that's a way, that's how learning happens. That's what pedagogy is in this country right now. You have to repeat, and that's how we begin learning, by having things repeated to us. So try to be patient with the loved ones who you have to repeat things to. That's how they learn. But does anybody get tired of repeating themselves? Does anybody just get tired of repeating themselves sometimes? Sometimes I get tired of repeating, even in myself, the same old patterns. Those same old patterns get sick and or have too much stress, and so then I don't exercise, and so then I gain some weight, and so then I feel bad about myself because I gained some weight, and so then I start to exercise, and I eat a little better, and I do all that until I get sick again. Oh. I'm tired of repeating the demands of justice to those that have the power to enact it. Why do we have to repeat ourselves? How many times do we have to talk about the environment and the quality of the air related to asthma rates on the South Side, and now they just found lead in our water? How many times do we have to talk about equal pay for women? Come on, y'all. Pay the role, not the gender. Pay the role. That's all we got to do. Why is that hard? How many times do we have to do that? Why are we having a conversation about racism again in this country? Nobody here is 100 years old. Sergio, he feels 100 right now. But why are we having this same conversation? Is anybody tired of repeating themselves? Don't you sound like a parent of a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old now? Yes, you do. Yes, I am. Simone de Beauvoir talks about the myth of Sisyphus and rolling a rock all the way up to the top of a hill, only for it to roll right back down and have to start again. And that can feel like a lot of things, can it? But when Simone de Beauvoir talks about it, she talked about it as related to the endless task of cleaning a house. To get all the way up that rock up the hill, and then to have the kids. Now, God sneaks new dishes into my house every day. I did not buy these cups. I did not buy these plates, and yet I'm washing them again and again. Toys that we did not buy. Who did this? Who does not like us? Who loves my child and hates me? Pick this up. Danya, you have to pick this up because we like to have a clean house and we like to have things orderly, and I don't want to step and break my ankle. Danya, can you please just pick this up. And the tone goes from teaching about cleaning, pick this up please, and being very congenial, can you please just do this? And the more you repeat yourself, parents, hear me now, the more you repeat yourself, the less words you use. Our patience and our patience get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Shorter and shorter. Can you please do this? At a certain point, it's just go. Just get out of here. It's bedtime. We're going to take a bath. We're going to brush our teeth. We're going to put our pajamas on. We're going to read a story. Am I talking to myself right now? It's payback for when I was a child and I would play video games all night. Oh, I had the Sega Genesis right up until bedtime and sometimes a little bit after. But see, my mother would say, oh, well, you got to turn the game off. You got to turn the TV off. You got to brush your teeth. You got to get in bed. You got to go to sleep. She would say all these things, and she would say them almost every night. But I thought I was slick. See, I would put the towel under the door so that when she was walking past, she couldn't see the light coming from the TV. And I would play the video games very quietly, like almost no sound at all. And my mother, now repetition, she would do it so much that sometimes she would just walk past the room with the towel under the door and not even open the door and just say, Julian, bed. Julian, bed. And I knew everything that meant. And that one word was a world full of meaning. That's verse 48. And it's impossible to know this from the English. That's one problem in this translation, and I just want to bring it up. It's impossible to know this from the English, but the English adds a word which is not in the Greek. It's in no translation of the Greek of Luke 24:48 is the word are there. Humes martures tuton. In English, we read, you are witnesses of these things, but that's not right. It's just not right. Jesus has been repeating himself up until this point, right? In his life, in his death, in his resurrection, in the presence of the disciples, repeating himself again. Peter ran and went to the tomb in the Luke telling of the resurrection. Just go look earlier in the chapter. Peter is the one who runs and discovers, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Jesus has been resurrected. He is amazed. And then Jesus appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is right after, in Luke 24, same chapter. Chapter where Jesus appears to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then he appears again three times in one day, y'all. Our scripture today, where he not only has to show him his hands and his feet to prove that he isn't a ghost, but he has to eat fish in front of them. Jesus doesn't need fish here, y'all. He doesn't need it. It's not necessary, but he's going out of his way to show them that resurrection is real. And then they understand, oh, he ate the fish. It's like if you were showing somebody a very complex math problem, and then at the end they said, oh, I get it now. Well, yeah, I just did the whole problem for you. Yeah, I get it. I don't think Jesus knew the word duh. But he did know about repeating himself to the point where in the original Greek, after all of these things had happened, Jesus says, you, witnesses of all these things. Not you are witnesses, no, you, witnesses. I know Jesus is like, what more do I have to do? We question the promises of God. When it doesn't come through, when our life goes off the path, we engage in self-pity. Woe is me. Woe is us who lost our Savior. Woe to the one who has died. Woe to the death around us. What more does God have to do in your life? You were born. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were given gifts, and things have happened. Now, things have happened, and you have been strong as those things have happened. You have died many times, and always you have risen from that death. Always. Your spirit is strong, church. What more does God have to do? Seriously, at a certain point, it's like, use this faith. Use it. We believe in God, but do we believe God? That is the question of this text. Jesus is like, you believe in me, but for some reason you can't believe anything I'm saying. I told you about life. I told you about resurrection. See, now they upstairs making noise, yelling and telling jokes. See, everything that he said, though, became lost in their darkest moment. But he helped them finally understand that in their darkest moment was when it was time to use it. Now it is time to use it. Now it is time to use this faith. It is not for good times only. Finally, they could understand, you witnesses. I like how we talk about witnesses. I like how we talk about witnesses. Any lawyers in here? There's a bunch of lawyers in this congregation. Why don't lawyers raise their hand? I know I see three lawyers in here right now. Anyway, okay. The way we talk about witnesses right now is very, very boring. Very boring. A witness is someone who sees something so that they can go and tell. Tell of the goodness of God. Ends up being how that works, right? Go be a witness. Go tell the goodness of God. That is not all that a witness is. Please tell me one line. Show me one line in the Gospels where Jesus acts like he cares about what you saw and who you tell it to. Show me one line where he cares. He does not care what you saw and who you tell it to. No, the seeing and the telling, like in a court of law, is so that a scene can be recreated even if you weren't there. You can recreate the scene. Witness what happened. Well, I saw him do this, and then this happened. It's not just for the telling. It's so that people can go into that scene. It recreates so to the effect that it puts people there. In the witnessing, it becomes real again. The witness embodies the scene. It's like after you have seen a good movie or heard a powerful song, read a book or article that just changed your life, right? Like when you go tell people about that, you don't just say, oh, I read this book, you should check it out. Or there's this really cool song by Jay Quest that's out, you should go listen to it. No, you don't do that. You're like, oh my goodness, have you not seen Black Panther yet? Seriously? How? We embody this. I mean, you tell it to them, you're giving it to them. Like, here, take some of this good feeling I have, and then go experience it for yourself. You feel all that was in that, it is in you now. That is a witness, church, embodiment. In body, not in mind, in faith, in body, in our body, in word, in thought, in deed. And Jesus shows them by using his body to eat a piece of fish that he doesn't need. But he wants to show them how to embody resurrection. For years, the part where Jesus ate the fish really confused me. Seriously. He had died, and I hadn't really known. You probably hadn't thought about this much until you just heard the scripture. Like, so wait, is he a ghost? Or like, what's going on? Like, what happened here? He resurrected. Like, is he, can I touch him? What's going on? Many people would have thought that he was a ghost. That's not a bad thought. That's a natural thought. And so the eating of the fish really confused me. Like, when he ate the fish, did the fish like fall into the bottom of the seat? Like, what happened here? He's showing them that resurrection is not apart from the body. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Give me some fish. We think resurrection is this thing way up there, way up there. It means we're going to heaven. It means our salvation is protected. And then we go on not forgiving. We go on holding grudges. We go on pitying ourselves. We go on letting anger and hate drive us. But Jesus says resurrection is not separate from the body. We think resurrection means we can talk about justice and privilege and point out sin and confess, but those that live without love, that live without justice, do not care for our confession, y'all. Confession is between us and God. God says if you want to confess of privilege, put your body in it. Put your possessions in it. Put your life in it. Don't bother with white guilt. Use your whiteness to witness. I can't come to a woman talking about sexism. She don't need that. She knows sexism way better than I know about it. She needs me to use my maleness to witness. To embody the scene of resurrection. To make life where there is only darkness. Trans people don't need our pity, y'all. The air is not enriched by our complaining. Who is responsible for polluting this air, for polluting our water? Answer for yourself. In community, we lament, but then we must witness. We must embody the scene of life. And that means as a church, we have to do that. We have to continue to be a place of hope and healing and of restoration where people can be themselves, where children and their questions can flourish. And if we have problems, we have to fix those problems. We cannot pass our problems on to the next generation, y'all. We cannot bless and baptize our children and then say, hey, you should figure this poverty thing out. Figure this affordable housing thing out. This whole racism thing, I might not get there with you. No.
Churches go through these cycles of growth and stalling, and each generation is asking the same question, making the same mistakes that were made 40 years ago. When I got here, we were asking as a congregation, could this place make it? Like, would it make it? Were there enough people here to keep it going? I want us to be so faithful, so courageous, that no one ever has to ask that question again, church. That we never have to ask that again. I don't want us to be a witness. I want us to witness. Like when Mama said bed and all that came along with it, Jesus said, you witness and all that comes with it. You declare the liberation of the oppressed and embody it. You declare the health of the people and embody it. You carry the light and love of God and embody it. Not you are witness, you witness all of this. Not that Jesus is resurrected. Don't just witness that Jesus is resurrected. No, Jesus, witness all of these things. The entire life of Jesus, the healings, the miracles. Don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about the goodness of God. Embody it. Don't tell me about love and peace. Embody it. Make them real. Make them now. What more does God have to do in our lives? What more do we need to see? What will it take? Jesus is tired of repeating himself. You witness. You witness of all these things. Amen.